Good morning, and thanks for coming to the session today. I want to talk about using an iOS application for data collection from a living learning laboratory. And iOS is just short for shorthand for iPhone, I think iPhone, iPad app. And I want to thank Professor Lee from the University of Kentucky for motivating me to put something together, both the presentation and the application, and for actually being on the ground in Kentucky to keep things moving along with the faculty and the institution there. Also, I'm not a teacher either, but I'm married to one, and I've heard many of the iPhone, iPad, put them away type things. But here we're going to use one. So some education challenges. I think these are themes we've already heard. Access to field sites are limited for either time or liability issues. At least at the University of Kentucky, they've got a limited number of laboratory courses. And students in the courses have to take canned experiments and make them work in the real world. Again, you're working inside. And then student participation in long-term data set collection is non-existent, at least so far. And so that's what we're trying to overcome, is to actually collect real-world data and have long-term data sets to work with. So the concept came up of a living learning laboratory, and this was in conjunction with the stormwater permit that the US EPA requires for Lexington and the campus to have. And part of the permit requirement is to have an education component to it for the community. And the campus's big contribution, whether it's good or bad, is E. coli at the edge of the campus there. And to address this this need, the students in, is there a pointer at all? Oh, here we go. Ag engineering program put together a proposal that didn't get funded to actually put in a rain garden. So this is the old storm drain with the inlet here, and it's just a straight shot down to the outlet here. It's does have a little depression there. So money was needed to enhance this facility, and the Student Sustainability Council got involved and said, yeah, we will contribute to this, provided that the lab is used for classes and it's integrated into curriculum. And the university also contributed about $40,000 for construction of the laboratory. Lots of partners at this point during the construction and design phase: landscape architect students, bioag engineering, horticulture, plant soil sciences, the campus physical plant, which was originally responsible for the storm drain, the Tracy Farmer Institute. This is a institute in the Vice President's Office for Research, and then also the Environmental Management Coordinator for the stormwater permit was involved. So a lot of different entities, both academic and non-academic and regulatory, so a lot of players. So a little bit on the design phase. So this was our inlet up here, and that old straight shot to the outlet down there, and you can see they've put in a few pools, some control structures so you can keep water levels in these pools where you want them, stream channel that runs between the two upper and lower pools, and then this little section for an outdoor classroom. And we do have an as-built photo from earlier in the year. The inlets up here and the upper pools, and then the little stream channel here, and it on goes up to the outlet. And then right here you can see some PVC stakes. These are monitoring sites that are installed right now for collecting soil water data. And up in the inlet and outlet, there are flow meters as well. So have a few pieces of monitoring equipment on site right now. And actually, it's a pretty good looking place. I was out there last week. So how this is managed right now is this, the Tracy Farmer Institute Sustainable Environment is coordinating through the different academic departments on campus, as well as the Kentucky Geological Survey and the Kentucky Water Resources Research Institute. They're on campus, but they're not academic, but they are interested and involved. There are some difficulties right now with getting different departments to talk to each other, because apparently, and I'm not an educator, so I don't know how these things work, but the budget model that they use for dispersing funds does not encourage collaboration between departments, so it makes it a big challenge to try to get it going. So the strategy is, if they keep it in the vice president's office, they will be able to overreach to all the colleges and help with the integration. So right now there are a few youth partners. We have three different departments from two colleges collecting data. Ag engineering has got the flow meters. Plant soil science is collecting the soil water data. And then earth sciences is collecting weekly water quality data. And again, getting partners together is slow, and best response has been by taking other educators out to the site to see what is there and what's available and what you could do with it in the future. Again, one last hit on collaboration is limited. So this is our current structure on who's using it. Three different departments. There is interest with English, fine arts, and also in engineering. And then again, the undergraduate club, the Student Sustainability Council, who provided a good chunk of the funding, would also like to get in and use it. So our current limitation, we only have three data sets, and there's absolutely no integration among the data sets right now, and the students don't get an opportunity to synthesize data, flow data along with water quality data, so you could look at maybe peaks of when the coliform's coming through, or maybe if your conductivity has gone up over the winter because of ice or de-icing the roads, etc. And then there is not a long-term data set available to the students yet to go and capture this and use the information. So we do have a solution, we hope, and it's this iOS-based data collection. I'm not a programmer, but I do have the capability of writing these applications, so it is very doable. It's done in FileMaker Pro, which is a fairly reasonable software package, up to 9 users for $500, or you could have unlimited users for $1,000. And that's just for the development side of things. The end user software is free, and you can just download it from iTunes or the App Store. I forget what it is. We did find out that you can't use it on the Android, and that actually turned one of the faculty members away, because they had the Android operating system and not the iOS. And so a little bit of a challenge there, but I think we can convert the person. The apps do have the look and the feel of the Apple apps. That's just part of it. It is a single database that you can have user privileges. So you could give the students the privilege to go out there and collect data and enter data, whereas the faculty would have the privilege to go in and edit data or do QA/QC on the data that's coming in. And it does require some level of programming. I'm not a programmer, but I am able to write these, so I'm confident others can. So the free software, the one that students would take, I just have a little package I wrote for a city in California to go out and do water waste or water use surveys in people's houses. And 9 different technicians, they all have iPads. They go out to houses. They have to cover 45,000 residences on a continuous basis, and they all input data, and it all gets stored in a central database, and they love it. You know, they don't have to write things down anymore, and they get to give a report right away. You can have various kinds of input. Right now we've got soil, air and water quality data going into this database at University of Kentucky. But you could also have photographs that maybe the fine arts folks are taking, or poems that the literature students are writing could also be stored in the database. And you can set the iPad up in what they call a kiosk mode, so in a secure location. You'd have the iPad out, and people can just come up at the garden and look at the data that's been collected, or look at the poems that have been written, or the photographs. So it makes it very nice for interaction. So this was just a screenshot of the application for the water use surveys that I did. And I just wanted to show, because there's, eight tabs up here of different types of information that these people collect. And that would be the same thing we would carry out for this rain garden. We'd have different interfaces for different departments or different activities. So here we see Trinity, a student at the University of Kentucky with a YSI probe, monitoring water quality here at one of the control structures. And then this is the application interface that is currently built, and they just type in pH, water temp, air temp, oxygen, conductivity, etc. And then on the bottom here, you can see there's a little unique ID and auto entry. So if you're a teacher and you want to be sure that your student was there, it grabs the GPS of where the data was entered. So they can't enter it from their dorm room or the coffee shop. They have to be there. We did have photos on there, but it was asked that we take the photo off because they didn't want like body parts showing up and other gross images. So I guess it didn't occur to me, but I guess that's what things can happen. So what we need to do next is we need to get beyond just the water quality data that we're collecting and identify a way to get the faculty to actually want to use this and cooperate, which we think if it's better marketed up to the administration and making the webs or the data host up on the vice president's website, then that would that should help involvement. Showed you this earlier. You know, hopefully we can get these lines going, and then through sharing the database, we can get everybody involved. I know I'm out of time, but we have learned that the technology is there. It's usable. It's capable. But our challenge again is getting the faculty interested to participate. And that's all I have. If there are questions, I also have the application with me if anybody wants to look and feel with it afterwards. So thank you.